Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Kelly Harris. I'd like to thank you all for calling in, Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus Ministry, episode 73. You all bow your heads and pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for tonight. We pray, Lord, that the message you want sent to your people, Lord, will be your word and not mine, Lord. And Lord, let someone out there who is growing in your word be more educated about who you are, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Tonight, my friends, we're going to be studying the 43rd chapter of Jeremiah. Verse 1 through verse 13. So turn with me now and let us begin. Now it happened when Jeremiah had stopped speaking to all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them all these words, that Azah, Hoshishaha, Jonanan, the son of Kerah, and all the proud men spoke, saying to Jeremiah, "You speak falsely. The Lord our God has not sent you to say, do not go to Egypt to sojourn there." I want to stop that right there for a moment. You know, that is very disturbing when people do that. Jeremiah faced this problem about God told him what to say, and the people didn't want to listen. They say, "Well, God didn't tell you that." Well, if they've been paying attention to Jeremiah's ministry, everything God told Jeremiah to tell the people of Israel came true. And it's kind of ridiculous when they decide, "Well, this time, God must not be talking to you." You can see this happening with your own churches at times, where you have leadership within the church who do not want to listen to the word of God. And you might say, "What do you mean by that?" And I'm talking about reading what's in the scripture and living by it, and you preach about it. And you have someone say, "Well, that's not how I go, how I interpret what it says. I could still do what I want to do and still be a child of God." Well, when you go on to 1 John, what does John tell you and I? He says, if you live by the flesh, you do not know him. If you live by the Spirit, you know him. That is not an interpretation by John. Remember, John walked with the Master. He walked with Jesus. And I would say to any of you out there reading John's gospel and even his letters in the New Testament, and you try to say that, "Oh, that's just an interpretation." Interpretation of what? Remember, he walked with Jesus. I would surely believe he knew who Jesus was, especially when he received His Holy Spirit later on at the day of Pentecost. Now, he didn't interpret anything because there was no New Testament written. Only thing they had was the Torah. Right? So John was not using his own interpretation. He was telling you the facts. And remember, Jesus would take his disciples off by himself in the wilderness and teach him by himself. So a lot of things John said came from the Holy Spirit, and probably I would even say this, he heard Jesus say this himself when he walked upon the earth. So John knew what he was talking about. So when you have a minister or any person who walks with God comes into your church, tells you the things of the Lord, and you try to dispute it because of the traditions of your church is held in a long time differs from the Word of God, you need to think back and kind of open up your Bible and see for yourself. And once you do that, you'll realize that tradition isn't helping me grow in Christ at all. In fact, that tradition that we may have in our church may be leading a few people to hell. We don't want to do that. What we need to do is stop that, follow God's word, and stop jumping on the person who's telling us how we should follow the word of the Lord. And acting like they're the bad guy. How are they the bad guy? Is what they're saying is a lie? Of course not. If they read the scripture right there and the scripture says what it is, then it is the truth. Amen. Let's continue on. Boaz, the son of Neri, has sent you against us to deliver us into the hand of the Chalabites, that they may put us to death or carry us away captive to Babylon. So Jonathan, the son of Kareah, all the captains on the forces, all the people, were not obeying the voice of the Lord to remain in the land of Judah. Again, they would not obey the Lord. And they wondered why Babylon took them over. Because that's exactly why the Lord let them be taken over, because they were not listening to them in the first place. And this could very well happen within your church, and your church focuses more on progressive social justice than following the word of the Lord. Recently, the United Methodist Church ordained a transgender pastor. Some of you who live by the world say, what's wrong with that? Well, my friends, according to what the Bible says, God said men should not wear women's clothing. Go back to Leviticus and read it for yourself. And that is the truth. I'm not going on the facts and some say, well, are you trying to say women cannot wear pants? I'm not saying that, because if a pants is made for a woman, yes, a woman is wearing her own clothing. Is she not now? Okay. But what I'm saying is when a man puts on women's clothing and dresses and puts on lipstick, he's doing what is wrong in God's eyes, because God told us a long time ago in the book of Leviticus, if you open up the book and read Leviticus, you know this is what God wants us to do. And he doesn't want women to put on men's clothing either. Now, again, as far as women wearing women's pants, that is fine. I know there's some out there who say, well, women shouldn't be wearing pants because men only wear pants. Well, if it's made for a woman, it's a woman's pair of pants, and the thing of it is, If it's really girly, as a man, you wouldn't want to wear girly pants, right? Right. Now, that may not sound politically correct, but the Bible isn't politically correct, and this program is not politically correct. Sorry, folks, but that is a fact. And let me also say, my friends, let us stop following what's in the Word and bring it to the church. Let us bring God back into the church. The thing of it is, God should always be with us in church. And his word should always be with us in church. And some of you might be saying, well, what about, are you trying to say a transgender man will never get to heaven? What kind of person are you? Hold on for a moment. Again, when you come to Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, right? Do not give up all the things that kept you from us. You do not lie anymore. You do not commit adultery anymore. You do not get drunk anymore. Because we know that is required of us. We do not whoremonger anymore. Because that is required of us. now, but to be someone who is a transgender person and you want to serve the Lord, you can't serve your flesh and the Lord at the same time. You must give up one or the other. And if you want to follow the Lord, you as a man must stop dressing like a woman. And you as a female must stop dressing like a man. Yes, it may be hard for you at times because when our minds get used to doing a certain thing, our mind always wants to go back to that same old sin. That is true. But when you have Christ Jesus living within you through the Holy Spirit, you could overcome it. Because you know how you can overcome it? Not you personally. You can't do a thing. You may say, what do you mean I can't do a thing? You can't. You try it on your own, you're going to fail. But if you let the Holy Spirit live within you and let Him take care of the temptation for you because you ask Him to take that away, it will work. It will work. So, again, when the Methodist Church has a transgender pastor or a lesbian bishop who's a bishop in Ohio, the state of Ohio, is God going to bless the United Methodist Church? No. Why? Because that's why its members are falling away, because they don't want to hear all this. They don't want to see all this social justice thing that the world is offering them. They're hungry for the word of the Lord. They don't care about the social justice things that the world is promoting. We in the church are different from the world. We're supposed to live like Christ did. Christ even told us the world will hate us because we follow Him, because they hated Him first. So let us stop trying to please the world and please our Lord, our God, and do His way. Some of you might be saying, well, wait a minute now, you're being racist because what about black people? What about black people? The fact of it is, you can't compare black people or any other people of color to homosexuality and transgenderism. It'd be ridiculous to tell a black person or an African American or an Asian person or any other color, well, you're not, you weren't born that way. Well, I sound stupid, don't I? Son of an African American, he wasn't born with a skin color. Well, of course he was born with a skin color. As I was back as it is, that's your skin color, and it was wrong for anyone to be prejudiced against someone and hold them back in society because of their skin color. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that with a do not get homosexual jobs outside in the workforce. I'm not saying that. One thing I am saying is that in the church, it's not a job. And if you're following the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to give up that old lifestyle of homosexuality as any other sin that's in the Bible. Remember, God sees a liar equally with a homosexual. Yes, He does. Because God doesn't have a big pile up of wisdom, great wisdom, small, all sin to Him are disturbing to Him. So, with that in mind, let us all think for a moment. Someone who is homosexual throughout their life has been tempted by the devil in other ways. Some of them will become homosexuals, and this is a fact, have become it because they do not get along with their father, and they're looking for a father figure. Some have been molested as a young person, or some began looking through pornography as a young person, that they, at the beginning, they may have had heterosexual sex with women, but then eventually they feed their hunger for their sexual addiction, they went into homosexuality. Okay? And that's what probably happened. The fact of it is, if God said a person was born a homosexual and yet said it was an abomination to him and that's a sin, God would be very unfair. Would you not think so? And God would have to tell everyone who was a liar, an adulterer, a murderer, that they were born that way, and there's no hope for you all. Right? But there is hope. There's hope through Jesus Christ. And throughout the Old Testament and the New, God had a plan. And throughout the Old Testament, his plan was for Jesus, for the children of Israel first, and gathered them like chicks. But it was going to be through the children of Israel. Jesus would come out of the house of Judah. The Lion of Judah would come. And he would die for our sins. And his grace would go out to Jews and Gentiles alike, giving you and I a choice to give up all the sins that we had. So I know in this political society that we live in, they're putting homosexuality in the civil rights movement with the civil rights movement of the 1950s and 60s, which is not. I do not agree with beating up homosexuals. I do not agree with firing a homosexual from a secular job that he's working at. I don't believe that. However, if a homosexual wants to come to Christ Jesus, like everyone else who comes to Christ Jesus, they have to give up that sin. They have to make that choice. Do I want to keep the sin in my life, or do I want Jesus more? And if you choose Jesus, you're clean. You are no longer a homosexual. I'm not talking about the worldly thing about we'll cure you of your homosexuality, son. God will cure it. Because now you're a new person in Jesus Christ. You're no longer labeled a homosexual. The world may try to still label you as a homosexual, but the Lord Jesus Christ will not. People in the church should not label a new brother or sister in Jesus Christ as a homosexual no more, because they are now clean through the blood of Jesus Christ, and no more are they going to sin. So always follow the word of the Lord and follow his way and do what is right in the Lord's eyes. Verse 5, but Jonathan the son of Kerah and all the captains and the forces took all the remnants of Judah who had returned to dwell in the land of Judah of all the nations where they had been driven. Men, women, children, the king's daughters, every person whom Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, had left with Gilgadah, the son of Akkub, the son of Shephan, and Jeremiah, the prophet, and Baruch, the son of Merah. So they went to the land of Egypt, for they did not obey the voice of the Lord, and they went as far as Tapanhes. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah in Tapanhes, saying, take a large stone in your hand, and hide them in the sight of men of Judah, in the clay, in the brick country yard, which is at the entrance to Pharaoh's house, and Telephath. They said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and bring Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. My servant will be set his throne above these stones and spread his royal pendulum over them. When he comes, he shall strike the land of Egypt and deliver to death those appointed for death, and to the captivity those appointed for captivity, and to the sword those appointed for the sword. I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away in captivity. And he shall array himself with the land of Egypt. As a shepherd puts, he shall go out from there and peace. And he shall, he shall also break the sacred pillars of Beth Shemesh that are in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the god of the Egyptians. He shall burn the fire. You see right there? Because of what the children of Israel did, again, they're going to be faced with the Babylonians once again. And this time, the Egyptians were going to be punished for it as well. Now, when God tells us things, and you're looking, well, how can I believe I've got to tell this thing? Well, open up your Bible. If you want to know God's answer to your life, read it. And you know what God expects from you, how you should live, how you should, your church should be. And if your church is falling apart, and it's not growing, and no one's coming to it, well, it's not God who is causing the destruction of your church. In fact, it's not the people around you. It might be just yourself. Be the leadership. And if the leadership isn't doing God's will, you're not going anywhere, are you? Because you're not listening to God, because you're allowing either your own church's traditions run your church, or you're allowing pride to make the decisions in your church that you don't want to grow because you have all these excuses why you're not going to grow as a church. You're going to blame other people for why your church isn't growing. Could be that you allowed social progressivism to happen in your church, where you start teaching about there's other ways to Jesus Christ. Now remember, really in the book of Jeremiah, why did the Israelites, the children of Judah, why were they invaded and taken over by Babylon? Because they worshipped other gods. The Lord gave himself as a man so we will stop worshiping other gods and know him. When we know Jesus, we know who God. By knowing Jesus in the New Testament, we understand God's heart in the Old Testament. God wants you and I, as he did the children of Israel thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, to be a holy people, to follow him, to have a relationship with him, and give up all these pagan stuff, which what they were doing was worshiping demons. And we say, when you have churches out there and preachers out there who say other ways to Christ, they're telling you and I we can follow any demonic force of religion that is out there, and that'll get us to heaven, which is a lie. And frankly, when these preachers say this, and so many churches believe this, they're telling Jesus he's a liar. And they stand too as being those slapping him in the face and pulling his beard and crucifying him on the cross and saying, he's wrong. Jesus is wrong. The one who created us. The one who molds us through his Holy Spirit and cleanses us of our sin is wrong. He's not wrong. We're wrong. And anyone who says that he tries to disagree with Jesus is wrong. You cannot say there's other ways to get to heaven, because Jesus said himself, there's no other way to the Father but through me. And Jesus even said he was going to be the one judging all the nations one day. And he'd be separating the sheep and the goats. Think about it, my friends. Think about it. If Jesus, if he said there was other means to get to heaven, he would have said so. In fact, Jesus never would have had to say it, because he, as God the Father, would have said this in the Old Testament. He never would have gotten mad at the children of Israel for building a golden calf after freedom from the captivity of Egypt when he parted the Red Sea. He never would have been hard on the children of Israel for following and worshiping the god Baal. There was other ways to get to heaven. He never would have became a man and died for his sin. But there was another way to get to heaven. If there was other ways to get to heaven, think about it, my friend. There were other ways to get to heaven. We would have been revealed by this. We wouldn't have to follow Christ. We wouldn't follow anything. I believe in this myth, this lie out there, that every religion leads us to God. And God would have told us so. But it doesn't, because we remember there is a devil out there who started his war in heaven and was thrown out and continued his war when he came to earth, when he came and tempted Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve, their first sin with God was the first earthly rebellion, the first human rebellion, when they believed they were going to be like God when they bit into the fruit. That was their open rebellion until they realized they were separated from God. They didn't do it out of being innocent. I didn't know. They did it on purpose because they were going to be as mighty as God. And that was Adam and Eve's open rebellion against our Lord. And they saw a lot of what happened, the result of their sin. One son killed another son. And generation after generation, they saw sin happening in the world, selfishness happening in the world. And I would say, because they lived an awfully long life, more murders from their grandchildren to another. Isn't that something? And I'm sure they regretted their actions for the rest of their days. If they would have just paid attention and listened to the Lord, none of this would have had to be happening on the earth. But it did. But the good news, Jesus came around, turned it all around. And you and I will not have to have that curse of sin running our lives. So we need to stop. Or I should say, you all who believe this, need to stop believing that you can live with the sin of Adam, that curse, and follow the world's ways and be and follow Christ at the same time. What you need to think of, you need to follow Christ and keep his commandments and live according to his will. Live by the Spirit, not by the flesh. That, guess what, my friend? You'll be doing things that are pleasing to God. If you listen to what he wants, you'll do things that are pleasing to God. Pleasing to God, your church may grow. And really, it's God's church, is it not now? Because all of you will gather together in his name, our church. And it's his church. If you follow his way, all will be well. Because you're doing what is right in your Father's mind. And if you do that, you're doing okay. But if you're not doing that, pride, your own selfishness, believing in the social justice of the world, coming to your church and following that, and doing a following your church's tradition, you're not going anywhere. Follow the Lord. Read your scripture. And we know the scripture. Read the New Testament. We understand how our church should be. Follow it. And do what is right in the sight of our Lord, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Yeshua from Nazareth. Let us, Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for tonight. I pray thou, Lord, that the message you delivered through me has opened people's eyes who want to grow in you, Lord, that they may too follow you, Lord, the way you want them to. Because you are the Father. We are the children. We are the clay, and you are the molder. You are the one who washes our sins away and makes us perfect. For we are no longer a sinner no more. We are now your child. growing in the process of your learning and teaching of all the days of our life. For we pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ, who reigns forever. Amen. Amen. My friends, I'd like to thank you all for calling in tonight. Remember, I'll be going live on Monday, so call in on Monday, 6 o'clock or 11 o'clock p.m., whichever I could get my time set framed out. If I'm not on at 6, I'll be on at 11. Same thing as for Thursday night. So, my friends, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless your life, and may He always bless you now until we all gather together as saints in heaven with Him. I say this in Jesus' name, amen and amen.